Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. And when I say us, I'm talking about Dr. Sherry Keffer. Sherry, good to see you.
I'm glad to be here with you.
Anybody else can see Sherry just simply by going to our YouTube channel, New Life Live YouTube channel. It's right there. And also, joining us today, very, very special guest, Ron Deal from Family Life Today and a champion for blended families, not just blended families, but families that can do well no matter where they come from. And so, Ron, we welcome you to back to New Life Live. Thanks for joining us.
Steve, it is always an honor to be with you, and what a joy to have Sherry with us today. Good to be back.
Well, you know, you've got a new book here, and that's what we're going to be talking about, and I hope that folks might think about getting this. It's Building Love Together in Blended Families. And Ron, it's too bad that you couldn't come up with a more famous, more effective, more a better selling author for co-author than Gary Chapman.
It doesn't get much better than that. Next on the list would be Steve Arterburn, but you know,
goes. He'd be way down on the list. But anyway, it is really a wonderful book. And you know, here's what I want to do. I want you to talk about when we get back from this first break, this short little interval. I want you to talk about how this could work. You know, Sherry and I talk a lot about people getting together, how they can meet new people, date, if they're, you know, free to remarry, how it might develop into marriage. I'd love for you to talk us through how you think it could work best. A man with two kids meets a woman with two kids, and they, you know, they date and decide that they're going to put these families together. So I want to take it from the very beginning and look at what would be the best way to go. A lot of people rush up that meeting of the children thing. A lot of people act like it doesn't matter. And so I want you to take us from the top so that maybe some folks can get it right. You know, it is so important for people to get that right. And Ron, don't you think a lot of people think, well, if you know how much I love your mom or dad, you're going to accept me and you're going to love me too.
Yeah, I think that's a common unrealistic expectation. It mm-hmm. really is. And often, I mean, really the thing is, people actually just date the whole dating engagement process, not really thinking about the children and the family that is to come. They're just thinking coupleness, if I could put it that way.
Yeah.
And that is far too limited. Coupleness is one thing that you have to develop. Familyness is a totally separate thing that you have to develop. So, for example, I wrote a book all about dating well when there are kids involved in the process and how to make decisions about marriage. That's called Dating and the Single Parent. And that book really walks people through this. So how do we include the kids? When do we introduce? When do we not? What should we be thinking about, anticipating for the children? How do we bring them along in our dating / engagement decision-making process? And how much do we even ask them? Yeah, all of those kinds. There's a zillion questions there. And, you know, initially you said, how do they do it right? I think getting smart about step-family living empowers people to do it right.
I agree. And the title of this book is Building Love Together in Blended Families. And, of course, Gary Chapman's the author of The Five Love Languages, one of the best-selling books ever in the history of the entire universe. and Ron Deal, who's with Family Life Today, one of the brightest minds out there, and isn't in a blended family, but has committed his life to helping blended families. We'll deal with all that in your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, 1-800-229-3000 to join us for the program, 1-800-229-3000. Ron Deal is with us. Brand new book, Building Love Together in Blended Families. I would say how to go from offended to blended would be another way to look at it, because there's so many mistakes made. So, Ron, help us here. How do we get it right from the beginning?
Well, we've already started into that conversation thinking about, you know, even when you're dating, you have to be thinking about the end game here is to create a family, not just become a couple. And so it is about learning one another, husband and wife, you have a shared vision for the for your future together, but it's also about the kids and the loss that they have experienced that leads to this point in the family story. It is also about their opinions about you getting married again as their parent and what that's going to create for their life. It is a massive transition for children to have a parent marry and to form a blended family. In fact, some of the research suggests that it takes kids longer to adjust to a blended family marriage than it does for kids to adjust to a parental divorce. And that's almost hard to believe.
Yeah.
There's many reasons for that, but it's true, right? So think of it this way. This is a massive change for them. They need to have some say in it. They need to have some consideration. They need somebody to engage them in the process so that it's not just blindsided them. I just recorded a podcast yesterday with what we call it an adult step family, where the children were adults when the couple married. And, you know, here at age 30, this guy's going, well, you know, my dad came to tell me he was getting married. And I was like, okay, and what's this woman's name? You know, he is deeply invested in what's happening with dad and this, how this has implication for my family and my children who are now going to have a step grandparent. How does that work? And he doesn't even know her name, right? So,
yeah.
You know, that sort of climate makes it very difficult for him to get excited about the new family, about what's happening in dad's life and my place in now what is happening to my family. The more they know, the more they're engaged in the process, the easier it is for them to say, I'm a part of this and I'm in favor of it.
You know, you couldn't be more true, Ron. I'm thinking of a situation recently that came my way where I think the kids, children are the barometer and thermometers of what's going on. And here's a mom whose 12-year-old daughter collapsed in the laundry room, like not collapsed on the floor, but started crying because she couldn't get the washing machine dialed to work. And her mom was like, I don't know what is going on with her. Well, what was going on with her is mom's been dating someone for a little over a year, and they're spending more and more time with this gentleman. There's not been a lot of conversations. And so this 12-year-old is dealing with the divorce of her dad, her dad's quick remarriage, and then there's this other guy. And so slowing down, you know, I was talking to her about it takes 2 years to form a secure bond, even in a dating relationship. And for some reason, right, we don't think about the fact that our kids have to develop a secure bond with that new human being that's on the, you know, in their lives. And so slowing down is so important.
Yeah.
That's a good word. And Steve, let me just add real quick to what Sherry just said. Children's primary investment when a parent marries is in keeping the relationship with their parent and their siblings, not forming a new bond with the step-parent. So she's right. That takes its own journey. But kids want to make sure they're maintaining their relationship with their biological parent. If dad or mom falling in love with another person means I lose dad, then I'm not in favor of a stepmom. Like,
there you go.
I want to maintain my relationship with dad. And it's so important. Here's one of the big tips we give people. If you're going to start moving toward another person, whether this is dating or you're already married and you're listening to me right now, you've been moving towards your spouse for some period of time. Make sure you're also moving toward your children emotionally, reinforcing that you're still there for them, they still matter, they're still important to you, and you love them. You have to move toward your kids even as you're moving toward a new spouse.
Very good point. And, you know, if you're watching on Facebook, you can see the books behind Ron, all about the smart step family. When Solomon was about 4, his mother asked him if he wanted some corn on the cob. He said, "I don't want any stupid on the dump." And when I think of that phrase, you know, stupid on the dumb is saying something like, I'm going to marry their mother, and by goodness, those kids better respect me, and she better make them respect me. That, my friend, is so common that you see the demand for respect, and then you just see how horrible that works out, just because the person that's demanding the respect obviously is missing a few pieces on relational intelligence and emotional intelligence. Well, if you want to join us, we'll give you a copy of this book if you join Ron on the air. And if you want to order it from us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, we're stocking this, and it's really a good one. It's not a very long book. You can finish it pretty quickly, but you don't get much better than Gary Chapman and Ron Deal, Building Love Together in Blended Families, newlife.com, or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000. How about we go over here and we talk with Paul. Paul's calling from Brunswick, Georgia, W-A-T-Y. Hello, Paul. How are you today? How's life treating you?
Good. Good. How are you doing?
Doing okay. How could we help you today?
Scenario is a little different. It doesn't have to do with the blended family, but I am currently separated from my wife. We've been separated for a month and a half. I'm currently, of course, in Georgia. She remains in Illinois.
Why are you separated?
Well, what had happened is her son, 1 year ago today, her stepson, who was homeless, was tragically killed. That was only 7 months after we were married. And she decided, with or without, I guess, my approval pretty much, that she needed to resign and move where her family was in Illinois. So we did that. I've got some pretty serious disabilities. I'm a Army veteran, but needless to say, we moved up to Illinois, and I had some serious health problems with my back, did some things I probably should not have on the house. But what had happened, sir, is that it was basically there were no boundaries whatsoever with her sister as far as coming over. She was only 10 minutes away, and as well as her sister's family. And my wife and I strongly disagreed that, hey, you know, I agreed there should be some boundaries, but she did not. And so it's basically, it was like I was overrun. I had no right as far as to privacy, or my say didn't matter.
Okay.
She preferred her family and her sister.
And so who left?
Basically.
Who left?
I left because I was trying to get help through the VA, which was very difficult.
Okay. All right. So what, tell us the question that you want us to answer for you. I think we understand the situation.
Okay. My question is that even though she filed for a divorce, and I had to hire another attorney, what is the likelihood of restoration with a spouse that prefers her sister's rights and her family over her husband?
Okay, let's hear what Sherry has to say, and I'll hear from Ron, and then I've got a couple of comments I want to make. Sherry, let's start with you.
Well, hey, Paul, you know what's really amazing is you happen to call in on the perfect day. You know why? Because
why's that?
Well, Ron's here, and he's an expert on blended families. And do you know what you married into? Do you know what you really are? You're a blended family.
Okay.
You probably never realized that you're a blended family. She was married before, and her son was tragically killed. And what maybe you're hearing for the first time today is that you are a blended family. And so what happened when your wife lost her son and is in tremendous grief is she went home to be near her family. And so I hear, and this might be hard to take in because I'm trying to really be as honest with you as I can. But what I'm hearing is when she moved towards her family, something got triggered in you. And you felt somewhat, I would say, emotionally abandoned by her. Instead of moving with her, going with her, and I understand that you've got health conditions, but instead of you blending towards her tragedy, it feels like you, in your hurt, kind of hunkered down and stayed. And with blended families, and I'll have Ron speak to this, with blended families, it requires flexibility, the flexibility of Gumby and Pokey put together.
Yeah. Sherry, I really think you're onto something.
But I'm familiar with Gumby.
Okay, yeah, you know Gumby and Pokey. I mean, I'm dating myself here, but you know, you grew up and you bend them.
Well, yeah, me too. I'm 60. I just turned 60.
Okay, good. We're almost the same, right?
Well, I think Sherry's on the right track here. Let's hear from Ron and see what he thinks about the situation.
Yeah, good thoughts so far. Let me just add this. If I answer your question literally, there is a little research out there that suggests that 10% of couples who are on a path toward divorce can actually reconcile that relationship. But my guess is percentages is not really what you're asking for. That's the literal answer to your question. But more importantly, I think maybe you're asking, what do I do? Do I fight for this thing? Do I even bother? And I say, yeah, absolutely. I mean, marriage is a good thing worth fighting for. There's lots of questions to be answered. There's a lot of unknowns, without a doubt, and it will be a process. But for you to just plant your feet in the ground and say, you know, I'm not turning around and running the other way, away from you. I'm not going to chase you faster than you'll let me chase you. But I'm here, and I'm not going anywhere, and I'm willing to get help. In fact, I'm getting help. Even if she doesn't join you in that process, you still get help. That's worth doing.
Yeah,
because marriage is important.
Yep. And, you know, Paul, let me say this to you. Yesterday, I had a little surgery, and I had a lens in one eye replaced, and I'll have a lens in the other eye replaced next week. I want to ask you to replace a lens here for a second. And rather than see this from your perspective, look at it through her lenses. Her son, it's what she had left. He was such a heartbreak to her, and then every mother thinks it's gonna turn around. They're gonna find a way to get that child back. He dies. If you see it from a different lens, you might say this: she was in profound grief. She had lost a marriage. She had lost a son. She married you, and I got to tell you, unless you're Superman, you did not fulfill her expectations in that second marriage. She wanted you to fix things. Things didn't get fixed. I'm not saying that's because of you. I'm just saying that's what happens. So in this horrible loss, she goes back home. You could have said, this is all part of a very, very complicated, deep, grieving process, and it may take her 5 years to fully get through this, and I'm going to be there for her through the five. So when you ask, is there any likelihood of this marriage being saved? I think the only likelihood is you saying, I've been looking at this through one lens. I've just started to look at it through yours. And I'd like to say I'm sorry, and I'd like a chance to do it over.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Ron Deal is our guest. And just to finish up with Paul, Sherry and I were talking. And, you know, you don't say to a six-month-old baby, I'm sorry, you can't cry after 10 p.m. We've set a boundary. All your crying needs to be before 10 p.m. Well, when somebody loses so much, especially a child, you have to be willing to have some boundaries intruded upon. I mean, you can't say, oh, listen, you can't, that's a boundary that can't be crossed. That sister that you need there every day, you can't do that. Maybe that is what you need to do. Maybe you need to say, this is going to be okay for a while. And at some point, I'm going to be such a caring, compassionate person. I will have earned the right at some point, 6 months from now, whatever, to say, I think it's time that we start to set some limits that didn't need to be set in the midst of this horrible tragedy. But now it's time. And, you know, if I was you, Paul, I would ask her to be in counseling with me to try to pull this back together. But if you were in counseling when you got in trouble, then maybe the counselor would have said, I think it's time that we set some boundaries now, after you had allowed her to do what she needed to do to survive.
Well, so, and I wanted to mention one thing, and I'll make it quick, Steve, not to belabor the point, but my brother recently tragically died. He took his life.
Yeah.
And Kyle, my husband, came with me and stayed in my mom's home where he took his life, where his widow is. I slept with Benya in a side room that we bought her a new bed and held her hand. And we walked in the door, and she was too afraid to sleep alone. And Kyle just said, whatever you need. Whatever you need.
Yeah.
So he slept on the floor. We were in the house. He submerged himself into the tragedy. And Ron, I know you're military, and I would say this is a search and rescue mission. Mm-hmm. You can move towards this tragedy and be her hero. And that's what Kyle was to me. I was a mess. My mom's a mess. My sister's a mess. We got, you know, stuff we have to do. But that's when that spouse can become our greatest ally. But it requires flexibility.
Well, that's the Kyle I know, I'll tell you that. So that's a wonderful, wonderful story. And Paul, I'm going to send you this book, Building Love Together in Blended Families. I'm going to send you Every Man's Bible also, best-selling men's study Bible. And I think you're really going to love it. And I hope you'll make a call and say, I'd like to have a do-over here. I'd like to apologize. I want to try something from a different perspective. And once again, this is an example of, if we could just get folks who get in trouble to think first, hey, is there a third party we could get involved to help us here? We're in such disagreement. And that third party is at the end of a phone call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's go over here to Eric. And Eric is calling us. Let's see, Eric, you're calling from Fort Worth, Texas, KWRD, Fort Worth. Went to seminary there in Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. All right, Eric, how you doing? How can we help you?
Doing fine. Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I love y'all's show. We got remarried a year and a half ago. We may have rushed it a little bit. We dated long distance for about a year and a half before that. So, but I have a 17-year-old son from my previous marriage, and she has a 17-year-old son. And so we are trying to figure out, in the midst of trying to do the blended family, both our boys are trying to differentiate from us. They're trying to find their way, you know, and we've had a little bit of conflict in that, you know, the values of my wife, for instance, wanting cleanliness, and I didn't really emphasize that as much as I should have. And so my son lived with me for a few years prior to that. So anyway, that's just one example.
Well, who's the one that needs it to be cleaner than the other one?
My wife needs it to be cleaner.
Okay.
So she's been really good. She's been as gentle as she can and patient and trying to. And so I need to enforce that more with my son and explain to him that this is a value that she has, and out of respect. But
I wouldn't do that. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I would make it my value. I would set the example.
Yeah.
And
I would. I have a different spin on that, and we want to hear more from you, Eric. But you know what? I would be doing right now. Y'all dated a year and you dated long distance a year and a half. Y'all really didn't live in the same area for a while, right?
Correct.
So this new idea about cleanliness is new to you as well as your son. And this is the deal. I would probably be very bold with your new wife. And I would say, you need to major, not major on the minors right now. I would actually tell her she needs to be okay with a messy room right now. She needs to close the door and work on loving him. Because if you start changing the rules right now and you start defending her, and his life is changing, he doesn't feel connected yet. And he will feel like you are her ally and you've let him go. Now, I want to hear from Ron, but I just thought it is too quick to be changing these rules that have been rules you haven't even noticed.
So we'll hear from Ron. So you just, by example, you can do things yourself rather than try to cram them down his throat. He'll see it.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We got Ron Deal. And Ron, you've heard our perspectives on this recently. Mary, maybe they jumped in too quickly, two 17-year-olds, and the wife's asking for cleanliness here. What are your thoughts here?
Well, you got to choose your battle. For sure. And so I think what Sherry had to say is good. This might not be the battle to be fighting right now. I'm also curious, I'm assuming Eric's still on the line. I'd like to hear a little bit more about, Eric, could you just tell us a little bit more about what concerns you most about how things are going for your family right now? Is it that parenting difference between you and your wife? Is it?
Yeah, I think the different parenting styles. I parented pretty different than her. I was not as strict on some things. And on setting boundaries, I've admitted that, and we're working through that as well. And so boundaries was a big deal. She's actually very good at setting boundaries, and so that's what I'm working on. But I think the other thing I've been concerned about is the bonding between her and him. And I know that's going to take quite a long time, but we're cabin fast. It's not, you know, it's not as fast as I want. So,
Yeah, well, let me just say you are in good company. We find that parenting issues between parent and step-parent, different parenting styles, different histories, the kids are used to a different level of expectation, is a very, very common source of conflict in blended families, and it is something that ultimately it comes down to parental unity, just like it does in any family, but it's a harder path for you as the parent and her as the step-parent to come together around what you're going to do because, like you said, you got a whole lifetime of the kids are used to cleanliness or lack of cleanliness, boundaries, expectations, or kind of a little bit more relaxed environment and climate. So it is almost universal that biological parents want step-parents to be more relaxed with their kids than they usually are, and step-parents want higher standards than biological parents do. That is almost universal. It's sort of funny when you say it because it's so common. At the end of the day, you and your wife have to, a lot of conversation to have where you are talking around, how are we going to do life? Now, I'm taking into consideration you got two 17-year-olds. They're later in their teen years. They're basically entering adulthood. Patterns are set. A lot of expectations are set. And their motivation is kind of moving on with their life would be my guess. And that's a developmentally appropriate thing for them to be doing. So I don't know you got to deal with this the same way you would if they were 5 and 6. Where you have a whole lifetime ahead of you of parenting. But still, trying to come together around a few, let's call them hills to die on. Like, for your wife, maybe cleanliness is one of them. She's letting go of 9 of the other 10, you know, 9 of 10. But this is the one thing she really needs you to join her in. Likewise, you may have a couple of things you really need her to relax about. That's conversation for the two of you. Find what those things are and try to come together in unity and then communicate the change of expectation to your kids and then have a whole lot of mercy for them because it's another change. It will be difficult. You know, if your boss came in today and said, guess what, you've always done it this way, now you're doing it that way, it would take you a while to figure it out. You know, it's same thing's true for children. So come together around what you really have to have the same. Yeah. And then gently implement that over time.
Well, you know, I'm going to send this Building Love Together in Blended Families, but I would kind of give the same advice here as with the previous caller. This new stepmom, the guy's 17, or stepson's 17. Yeah. Are you going to spend this final year and the message is you're not clean enough? That's just so short-sighted. And I said before, you be cleaner, you know, because you married her, you be cleaner. But I would just encourage you to also set the example of your number one value is this other 17-year-old, your stepson, leaves knowing you came after him. You wanted to win his heart and you wanted to listen to him, not tell him, you know, what he needed to do because she's telling your son what your son needs to do. They need to become, both of you, they just need to be your sons. And I tell you, I just wish people could see my two sons and what a blessing they are to me because of just my wife was so wise in the way she dealt with things. And so much of what we did is right here in your book, Ron. I mean, it's kind of a story of our lives. And our demands on the children were 1/100th of what our demands were on ourselves. And that's a pretty good ratio, I think, if you want to make it work.
Yes. Steve, one of the things I'm thinking of right now is something your wife said. Of course, you and Misty have been on my podcast and have spoken for us at our events. By the way, Sherry has been on our podcast, Family Life Blended. One of the most popular episodes we've had to date was with Sherry Keber. Misty said one time on our podcast, you connect before you correct. That is critical for any parent. It is doubly important for in a blended family situation. Connect before you correct. Make that your priority of, and that's what you're saying, Steve. You pursue the child, develop relationship before you start really having to mess with correcting behavior and that sort of thing, because if they don't trust you, they don't have a sense of where you're coming from, if they don't believe that you care about them, then correction is just going to fall on deaf ears and probably lead to more conflict. That is a good principle to hold on here.
No, it's really true, and she modeled that with my daughter, and then now my daughter, when she planned her wedding, she wanted our 11-year-old Amelia not to just be a ring bearer, flower girl. She's a bridesmaid. You know, that to me is the ultimate example of blending.
Great.
There. Speaking of blending, Larry blends compassion with finance. And Larry, welcome to
Thank you, Steve.
And rather than me ask you if you brought anything, I want to read a letter I just opened up. It was written before the end of the year. And listen to this. It says, during this year of Black Lives Matter and COVID at-home mandates, I discovered racism in our church and in our community, and it just hurt me so much. I'm disabled and a caretaker to my sister who has mental illness. We are alone. We're made fun of. We're taken advantage of. But I choose forgiveness and love. I'm lonely. I'm hurt and alone. But I want you to know that if I'm ever in a situation where Christians are tortured, I'd want to be there with New Life Ministries. I just love you all. I've been a member forever. I'm on a budget. I don't have much. And I want to give extra this month. And I plan to give extra in January. Yes, Larry, I'm going to give extra. Thank you for starting this loving truth ministry. What book should I read, she asked. Some days are harder than others due to pain and a broken heart, but God calls me to love and forgive. And Steve, there are days I need help to do just that. Who am I? Well, God loves me and forgives me. I can't afford to be buried. I plan to be cremated. Is God against cremation? And she signs it, your sister in Christ. Thank you, dearest big brother. Well, you know, she sent this before we did a couple of programs talking about cremation being a dust acceleration program. And so I wrote her back and told her about that. But here's somebody that gave, she wrote a check for $70. She's on a budget. She gave extra. She's going to give more. And I just think, I just wanted to know, we're so grateful to her. But all of you who do this, whether it's $70 or $7, we feel that sacrifice that you're making, and we're grateful for it.
Doesn't get any better than that, Steve. And I just I want to remind folks, we do this every day, trying to remind you what this ministry's impact is on people, because God made it very apparent from the beginning that he knew we were going to have memory problems.
Yeah.
So we want to keep that in front of you so that you will always remember when it's your time to consider giving, that New Life be one of the places, if not the place, that you choose and desire to give to. So a gift, any gift, and we'll get send you this New Life journal. And we'd love to give that to you if you're journaling. It's the best thing ever. If you've never journaled, what a way to start. So send us a gift. We would appreciate it. Consider Club New Life, please. That's just the second next level after you make your initial gift. Mm-hmm. Join this monthly giving program. $30 or more. We've got all kinds of gifts for you. We'll send you things every month, at least a CD or download.
Yep.
And help us out when you can. We'd appreciate it.
1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call. And by the way, we give you this gift of a journal for a gift of any amount. And if you've never journaled, this will tell you what to do, tells you what to write about. And it really is so great to have a directed journal in the beginning. You don't have to use the direction. You can just write what happened today or whatever, what you're worried about, or some growth step you've made, and then it's you've got a record of it forever. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's the same number you dial if you want a copy of this wonderful book, Building Love Together in Blended Families. Sadly, it doesn't happen every time.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Ron Deal is our guest. You know, we have a lot of people on, and a lot of people, as you might imagine, they aren't exactly the real deal. Ron is Ron Deal. He's the real deal. And he's just one of the sweetest people and strongest people at the same time. I've ever known. And here's his book, Building Love Together in Blended Families. He wrote it with Gary Chapman. And you can order it from us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'd love to talk more about this book. It's really a great book. The five P's are in here of step-parenting, including persistence, and there's a bonus P of prayer. That's the sixth. But I got to go to another one of these calls here, and let's just go to Laura from Pensacola, Florida. She listens on the New Life app, which I would recommend to anybody to download. Laura, welcome. You're on with Ron Deal and Sherry Keffer. How can we help you today?
Hey, y'all. I have been married for almost 13 years now, remarried. When we got married, our kids were ages 10 to 22, so we had all the teenagers.
Okay.
And as moving along here, I have one daughter, my stepdaughter, who is, I call her the carrot on the counter. We've got the slow-cooking crock pot going on, Ron, but she is not a part of the family at all. There's a lot of backstory there, but at this age, at 24, is there still hope of getting her to be a part of this family?
Laura, I appreciate that question so much. Thank you. Just for the listeners, let me just give a little context to Laura's question and her comment about crock pot. That's a concept that I use to communicate to help people understand. Blending families takes time. You do it in a crock pot. You don't cook a step family in a microwave. That takes a few seconds. But the reality is the average blended family needs many, many years to really coalesce and come together. And sometimes, as Laura has noted, there's an ingredient in your crock pot that doesn't want to cook. You know, they just keep a tough outer shell. They never soften. They never warm up. They never begin to share themselves with the other ingredients. And there's so many different ways and reasons that can happen. You know, for example, some of the ingredients in your blended family don't even live in your crock pot. They live most of the time in another crock pot, and they spend a little time with you, and so time is an issue. Sometimes it's a loyalty to some other ingredient in another crock pot. You know, a biological parent, you're the step parent, they just have a preference for one over the other. There's a number of backstories for that. But I hear Laura's heart, and she's basically saying, is there any hope? This child's had plenty of opportunity to kind of merge herself into the family journey, and she's just not, for whatever reason. My guess is when that happens, usually there's a backstory of hurt. There's something going on in that heart of that child that's just created a wall, and they're just not willing to come out from behind the wall. Sometimes, you know, they're in another relationship that has them locked in such a way that they just don't have the freedom to connect. Even if they could, they would, but they just can't. Again, the bottom line is I want to say yes. And here's the thing I've seen God do so many times, Laura. There's reason to hope because life has a way of showing us something new about ourselves that helps to soften that hard heart. For example, I don't know if she has any children of her own at age 24. I don't know if she has a primary relationship. She's married. You know, someday those kinds of transitions help some children go, wow, it's hard being a mom. And Laura did it all those years, and I never once said thank you. I don't know what it will take, but I do hold out for hope for you. And sort of like what we said earlier to Paul about his wife, who, you know, they were separated, stand firm, continue to love in ways that you can. No, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to accommodate everything in the world according to how this young lady would want it to be from you. But you can love well and maintain that posture and try to have a lot of mercy and grace. No, you don't have to be a doormat. Have some boundaries along with that, but love well and just continue to know that's what you can do. And it's actually a very powerful posture to have, because eventually when her heart softens for whatever reason, and it might be a humbling moment, it might be a parental moment, it might be life just showing her herself a little bit, when she turns around and still sees you there, that's when all the work pays off.
All right. I am so glad that you called, Laura. And I just want to say this. I think we have to go against human nature. Ron mentioned my wife. She's really big on getting curious rather than furious. I think it's a great little thing to remember. Pursue versus persecute, the one that is not part of this. And respond like Jesus rather than react like Satan. Or let's just say, let's respond and not react. And I'm going to send you a copy of this book and take your life back, because you need everything within you to respond with grace and love, like Ron's talking about, and not react to somebody that is distant. All of the things we've talked about today, I want to tell you, they require something that is very difficult to have. It's the big picture over the long haul. We want to see things from our little tiny vision, and we want results now is usually the thing. And this P in here of patience, if you don't have patience, well, really, you're either going to develop it or you're going to go crazy, because nobody's going to want to be around you whether you have stepchildren or not. You just have to develop patience beyond patience. Ron, we've got 1 minute or so for you to tell us whatever you want to tell us that I didn't ask you about on this great book. What is it?
Well, I want people to know that the book is centered around helping them really build relationships and do that wisely. Most people are familiar with Gary's 5 love languages. But just because you know, for example, a stepchild love language does not mean that you have the ability to love them that way. If their love language is physical touch, and they don't yet quite know what to do with you, but you keep wanting to give them bear hugs, you know, guess what? There may be some pushback. There may be a blowback as a result of that. Like, you have to understand timing and pacing and respect for their feelings toward you, toward the family, and then move and meet them where they are and go with that. That's a part of that patience you were just referring to. When you learn that sort of wisdom, then all of a sudden you love with intelligence and wisdom, and that can ultimately be a huge change. There are so many little turning points that step families don't even realize they just crossed. When you stand up for one of your stepchildren with a school teacher who really is kind of, you know, getting it wrong with your child, and you show the child you're really on their side and you're willing to go to bat for them, they may never acknowledge that moment. Mm-hmm. They may not instantly turn around and start being warm and to you, but 5 years from now, they go, yeah, now I'm ready. And it's because all along I saw that moment and that moment and that moment, and now I'm willing to soften towards you and call you family. And so it's just this persistence to the long journey, as you were just talking about, that I think is so very, very important.
Well, I hope and pray people will consider this. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Get a copy of this great book, Building Love Together. In the step-parenting process. We're going to do another program after this. It's 1-800-229-3000. You can join us, 1-800-229-3000. Ron, thank you so much, and we'll see you on Family Life Today. Hey, all of you, if you can help us or you need help, it's the same phone number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Dr. Sherry
Thanks
Keffer.
For listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.